The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Cleaning Nation, Mike Campion here with Sarah Gaborik. Sarah is the owner of Coastal Cleaning Crew. She started January 2020. We're recording this August of 2021. So just over a year and a half in Indian Rocks Beach, Florida. I believe our Indian Rocks Beach, Florida first time ever guest. So welcome. Coastal Cleaning does residential and short-term vacation rental turnovers, which makes sense in Florida, focusing on the short-term vacation rentals. Welcome to the show, Sarah. What's shaking?
Hey, it's, you know, going good. How are you?
Living the dream, baby. So before we get into coaching, I love here, I've heard hundreds and everyone still is like it's like a snowflake. Every story of how they got into business is different. So what on God's green earth shook you out of your regular civilian life and made you decide to clean crap for money?
Well, I had a bad boss and we had an incident, you could call it, and it went very, very south very quickly and ended with me being suspended for a week, losing $1 an hour off my pay. And she also tried to take my senior title from me, from the firm, which I'm not sure you can do. But either way, it was the last week of the month. I was already living paycheck to paycheck, despite that I was in the first place paid decently, you know, well enough. And it was last pay period of the month that the suspension was going to land on, and I needed that paycheck to be able to pay my rent. So I went out and I started cleaning, and I didn't just make what I needed that week. I made it the entirety of my rent check that week. And so I went back in and I was like, not gonna struggle if I don't have to.
So what I hear Sarah saying, she's like, if I'm going to work for a bad boss, it's at least going to be me. I'm going to be the bad boss. And now when I yell at myself, maybe I'll listen for 2 seconds. So I love that. And by the way, guys, gals, we all have circumstances happen to us that we perceive as good or bad. And it really has so much to do with how you respond. So I could hear the emotion in your voice talking about the frustration you had and how you feel like you're treated fairly. And you get to feel however you want to feel, but a lot of people would have curled up and died and pointed the finger and said, that crazy person made me homeless, as opposed to going, no, the lady in the mirror made me homeless. That crazy person, you know, did what they were going to do. So I love that you said, well, I got to pay rent. You know, a lot of people said, well, where's the government? Where can I get in line to have them give me some, you know, government cheese? Like, no, I got to make this happen. And God bless you. That's what happens. And you're like, holy heck, this is not just a little bit. This could be like big girl stuff. So congratulations. That is,
thank you.
Before we even get into your question, I'm like, this lady sounds like an owner, right? This is what successful people sound like. All right, cool. So what's going on in your world right now that I can help you with, sister?
So right now I feel like I finally reached this like pinnacle point of being able to step out of the field and stop doing the actual cleaning and focus on running the business. And it's actually kind of devastating that I'm not already running the business because I have so many hats to wear and I don't have any of the time to do it because I'm in the field cleaning nearly every day of the week. At least I have been more so as of recently, but this last week or so, I've been able to spend a lot of time actually sitting down and doing the things that I need to do, mostly because of a lull in volume due to my business being the vacation rentals, that being seasonal, and we're in our off season now. But during peak season, I take maybe a single day off a month and I come home and I spend hours running the business after busting my ass all day long in the field. And so I finally reached a point where I've got a great crew underneath me and they are doing a phenomenal job, but I just can't seem to stay ahead of the volume all the time to focus on running the business. And I can't figure out how to just make that stop because I have enough workers. I have the right volume and I have one of them in mind, which I want her to be able to step into a position that I still yet have to have fully cultivated, but I want her to step into like a field management type position because that's what pulls me away from running my business is having to manage the field mostly. And I just can't figure out how to make that change. I don't know how to turn her into, or teach her how to make the decisions that I make. You know what I mean? Like all those gut feelings, all those things, all the details that are up inside of my head, I can't give them to her appropriately. Okay.
So I've got 47 answers. There's a lot of stuff going on. And I'll do my best to not forget anything and to get them all in the time that we have. So first of all, I always look at my business model. So many times people will see symptoms and try and go symptom hunting without finding the cause. So if I were, I know this isn't your question, but I just want to give another example, then we'll hit your question. If I were constantly not being able to pay bills, a lot of people go symptom hunting. Well, this lady hasn't paid yet, or I've got this, or we had three payrolls this month, or all sorts of kind of things that are going to happen. Because if this lady doesn't pay this month, it'll be another lady next month. And there's three payrolls this month. Well, 3 months from now, there'll be another three payrolls. So I always want to take a step back and go, what about my business model is broken? So same thing with, I can't seem to get out of the field, right? Like you're kind of a step above what most people think. Most people think, well, I just don't have good employees. And that's always a part of it. Or three people quit this month. And how could have I foreseen that coming? But if they look back, like people quit in bunches all the time. That's a common deal. So I like that you're getting the general non-specific gut feeling of like something's awry. So I'm going to encourage, let's kind of take a step back, look at the big picture of the business. And then the your specific problem, I think will be fairly or a lot clearer. And you're like, oh, I'm starting to get it. So 80% of the time is how we look at the business, not the business. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Okay.
So believe it or not, let's start with the type of clients that you have. So on the residential side, there are kind of three major types of clients, move in, move out, I guess construction cleanup, but that's more commercial, but move in, move out, vacation rent, short-term vacation rentals, and then just recurring residential folk. I kind of put those in red, yellow, green. So I never coach any of my folks to do move in, move out because because of that business model, you'll never be able to scale. So when I get people that are doing move in, move out, I know you're not there, but we'll get to you. And they're like, how do I scale? I'm like, you don't, you got the wrong clients. It's not built to scale because you'll have 10 this today and then zero tomorrow and then three the next day. You're like, how do I get good people that will tolerate that kind of schedule? You don't, they won't, it's terrible. How do I manage it when I'm not there? You don't, they won't do it. It's you got a bad model. Vacation rental is right in the middle. So my favorite is always going to be recurring. I get the same amount of money to do the exact same work every month. I sell it once, I figure it out once, and I just get paid like
bread and butter.
Those are, whether it's residential, commercial, that recurring, you know, for commercial might be I'm here 3 to 5 times a week. For residential, it should be I'm here twice a month, every other week. I wouldn't even take once a month ones. My bread and butter would be every other week, and then weekly would be if they want it and they need it, sure. And I kind of put, so on one end is move in, move out, which you're never going to scale. The easiest, most consistent ability to scale is regular residential cleaning. And right in the middle is vacation rental. So I personally wouldn't have that be my main source of income just because, again, outside forces are going to dictate, you know, we kind of talked about off air, like, I'm like, it's hot and humid and who's coming out there? And she's like, well, there's COVID in a lot of states. You're like, you can't move. You can't do this. You can't do that. And people are like, well, I don't want that. And Florida's like, do what you want. People are attracted to that. So
super.
How you feel about that, good or bad, it's outside of your control, right? Like, and it's not recurring. That's not like every year that's going to happen. So with vacation rental, there's just a lot of, it's not as bad as move in, move out. And it's not as good, so to speak, as recurring. So I personally would have that try and be like, no more than 30% of my business. And I'd really focus on, and I wouldn't fire those people. I'd sell more of the better clients, just to be clear.
Right. So
first and foremost, make sure you've got a business model that'll work. Second, and it doesn't sound like you have a problem here, but make sure you have enough money to pay everybody, right? A lot of times when we're cleaning it ourselves, we feel like it's good money for us, but we have to pay people and have overhead and uniforms and training and marketing and all that sort of stuff. We're like, there's no money. So different topic for a different day, but I just want to throw that in there. Okay. Once we've got all that handled, the third thing we need is a consistent hiring platform or a funnel. So most people follow the path, a consistent path of I clean myself, I get friends and family to help, and that makes me leverage a little bit, but still isn't going to solve my problem. To I start hiring friends and family, to I start hiring strangers, to I am pulled back every time somebody screws something up, which it sounds like where you're at. Like, hopefully you're hiring strangers. Hopefully you have a system that brings in enough strangers every month, regard good, bad, or indifferent. hopefully all that's in place. And you're like, but they still don't do a good job. So you're kind of at the final point, the best, I don't want to say easiest, but you've got a lot of stuff right. So you're real close. And I'm sure on a day-to-day basis, you're like, it doesn't feel close. It feels like I'm a mile away.
So much.
Yeah. But I'm encouraging you, if you've got, and again, I'm making some assumptions because we haven't talked that long. So if you've got, if your money's right, I would definitely start focusing my sales on, and again, if they just come in with money going, can you help me? And you choose to help them on the vacation rental, God bless. I'm not saying like turn them away. I might raise prices. Anytime anyone's ever got a wait list, raise prices, by the way. We think that it has to do with our cost. And certainly we coach a minimum or a maximum cost of goods sold of 50%. So if it costs you 100, you better charge at least 200. But between 200 and 300 is everything to a supply and demand, right? If there's just way more demand than there is supply, I raise prices. If there's more supply, you have more workers than demand, I might lower prices, never below 50% cost of goods sold. So once all that's clear, and I would, we won't get into it now, but I'm guessing there's some holes in your hiring funnel where you don't have more than enough quality people every month, no matter what. But let's that's just accurate. Pretend you do. Cause let's just, I'm assuming that's only 20% of the problem, not 80. So just that's first thing I'd focus on is right sizing or making sure I have the right clients in place, right? My business breakdown of who I had. And this is for everybody, by the way. Make sure you've got the right clients. Make sure you're charging the right amount of money. Make sure you've got a funnel that's going to bring you more than enough quality people. So there's always more people wanting into your party than you have room to handle. Once all that's done, we're going to get to what I assume is Sarah's problem. But I want to cover all that for those of you like, I'm not even to that problem yet. I'm still at the problem before that. So, all right. That said, here's the magic thing that we coach that will can be life-changing for you. So many times we think I need to get if I just had a field manager, operations manager, general manager, whatever you want to call them, some sort of manager. So I could go away and they would do all the stuff that I do. My problem would be solved. Good news and bad news. The bad news is it won't. It really, really won't. It'll cost you margin. It's hard to find that person and walk away. When you do, there's still turnover, whether I stay 6 months, a year, 2 years, every time there's a turnover, now you're back into the business. And more times than not, they don't do what you want them to do anyway. And 100% of the time, they take out of your margin. So, because they're not really cost of goods sold, they're not cleaning anything or doing anything you can charge for. And we coach a 30% overhead. I'd rather see more of that in a marketing and professional development for you and your team and like kind of higher level stuff. So a lot of downsides to hiring that person. That's the bad news. The good news is you don't need that person. Here's the magic. What we coach you to do is, first of all, I would never, ever, ever, ever pay someone to do a job and then pay someone to watch them do that job. If your cleaners are doing a bad job, that's a problem. Getting that's someone to watch problem. Them and fix their crappy job won't solve that problem. Right. Yeah. You need better cleaners, or more specifically, you probably need a better culture within the cleaners, right? So
yeah,
we've got lots of people. Jared, because he's great. He does all of our ads and brings us 300 appointments a month, more than we can possibly take. We'll take 10 or 20 clients a month. So he brings us way more than we need. I don't bug him or go, let me see your copy, or I don't have to look over his shoulder, God forbid, pay someone else to look over his shoulder because he does a good job, right? So I would hold my cleaners accountable to doing their job right. They got one job, clean this thing the way that we tell you and leave it done. And if they can't do that, then I'm going to get someone that can. Easy peasy. So first of all, we don't need managers because really it's in our training, we teach you to have people check each other's work. So as part of their work, like our millionaire mastermind, our top level coaching clients, they coach our next level folks, because that's how you really lock it in is by teaching someone else. So the way we coach is 0 to 30 or 0 to trainer in 30 days or less. And your brand new person to be graduated into a fully fledged new guy or new gal is they got to train the next guy. And they're expected to do a good job, period. And they're expected to have the person they train do a good job. And as part of their deal, at least once a week, they and their team are going to go check someone else's work and someone's going to check their work. So long story short, and this works for so many different things, not just hiring a manager. You need a system before you need a person. And we think, oh, I'm too lazy to make a system or think it through, so I'll just hire a person. The problem is at the end of the day, it's more work to hire that person, train that person, find that right person, then it's expensive to pay them, and then they're going to quit.
Absolutely.
Or you can just have a system that you put into place once, and it solves the problem forever. Questions, comments, rude remarks?
No, so that's actually super in line with what I'm trying to do, because I'm trying to take one of my current cleaners and put them into a position where they can start overseeing the rest of the team, because she is my most senior cleaner. She does a fabulous job. They're all doing a fabulous job.
But if they're all doing a fabulous job, why do you need someone to oversee anybody?
Because they don't have the answers to all the questions, you know, with the vacation rentals and the staging, it becomes really complex, like having to make sure that you know exactly how many forks are in each unit for a max capacity stay. And all right, write those that answers. Down. Yeah, right. So, you know, exactly. Write that down. And just making sure that everything is put back where it belongs, because they see so many different units. You know, it's taken me this long to figure it all out and system, be able to have
system,
the
system, system. Take an after yeah. picture, put it in the thing. So you're, yeah. you keep trying to go. There's a get. So you're like, I memorized everything because I care and I'm the owner. So yeah. my employees don't care.
I don't expect them to do that,
but I would. Either it's yeah. a job or it's not. So if it's the yeah. job to do it right, you have to expect it. You know, you're not going to give them half their pay and go, "Well, you did half your job. Here's how it works." You have to hold people to a standard. So yeah. again, this all goes back to culture, which is really core value. So our core values are have fun, make money, be real, and help out. So every mm-hmm. single person that is on our team, or even we accept as a client, has to be somewhat on board with those. If they're part of the team, they have to be completely on board. So if I went to a place and they didn't do the forks or they didn't put it back right or whatever, I'd have a core values conversation with them. "Hey, Sarah, the client called and these people that saved up maybe all year long to have this amazing trip walked in and things were messy. That wasn't fun for them. It certainly wasn't fun for the client. When she called me, it wasn't fun. And I don't know about you, but this conversation we're having right now is not fun. So sure. how do you think about that?" And then talk about making money. "If we do a poor job, do you think you'll make more money or less money? What about the company? What about our client? Easy peasy. What about being real? When I hired you, I told you I'd pay you X amount every 2 weeks. How many times have I missed that or fallen short of my commitment? None. Okay. Well, the deal is I'm going to pay you for this and you're going to get this result. If you're not getting that, you're not really being real with me. You told me you get a result for the company and I told you I'd pay you for it and I paid you for it, but you're not getting the result. And then help out." This isn't helpful. So the cool thing is we don't try and beat our core values into other humans. We have our entire hiring and client attraction process so core values based, so drenched in core values. It only attracts people like, "Oh my gosh, I've always felt that way." Like you, right when we started, had a very clear, you didn't say this, but we all heard, "I want to be acknowledged for the work that I do. And I don't want to be treated shitty. And if I get, pardon my language, if I get treated poorly, I'm out," right? That doesn't mean you're a bad employee or a good employee, or they're a bad employer or a good employer. It certainly meant you weren't a good fit, right? Because they're like, "You did this thing and I have no idea who's to take sides," right? It doesn't even matter. But we're both clear that was not a good fit because you had a core values clash. So if she tried the rest of her life or that relationship that you had together, trying to make you follow her core values, which she probably hadn't clarified and communicated with you, you would get frustrated. She would hate you. You would hate her. It's never going to work. But if you attract people that already believe those things, like all of our team loves having fun. They love making money. They're totally committed to helping out and they're absolutely real with one another. So I don't have to try and like be this way, do this thing. I just, so perfect example I've given before. I'm a terrible cleaner. If you hired me to be a cleaner, we do a great job. I'm in terror. How can that be? Because I'm always going to have fun. And to me, it's not fun lying to you and telling you I'm going to do a great job and then doing a crap job. I always want to help out. It's not helpful to do a crappy job. I'm be real. I wouldn't tell you I was going to do the job unless I could do the job. Have fun, make money. And then no one's going to make any money if I do a crap job. So even though I'm the worst cleaner in the world, and if those were your core values, you hired me, I would be a great cleaner. I'd probably soon come to you and go, "I've got to be real with you. I don't think I'm good at this. I think I need to be in a different position to really serve you and your people, or maybe we need to part friends, but I'll give you a 2 weeks note." It would all be fine. Even though I wasn't a great cleaner, the time that I cleaned, I would be a great cleaner, not because of my skill set, but because of my core values. So if I'm not a core values fit, and I don't give two craps about the guests, you, the client, nobody, I'm all about me. You can give me pictures and have somebody watch me and have 16 different supervisors and employee handbook that I sign. And you can do all that sort of crap is never going to make nothing happen. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So I would focus on culture and systems. You're like, how can I get a human being to do this job? And again, seniority has nothing to do with it, by the way. I'm putting people with more authority, it has how much to do their core values match. I don't care if you've been here. That's why you go zero to trainer in 30 days. If you want to be on board, you're going to train somebody else before you're fully on board. And you're going to do that in your first 2 or 3 weeks of the company. Bonus, when you treat people like they're stupid, they act stupid because thinking's really hard. So if I'm like, "Okay, Sarah, just shut up and sit down. When anything goes wrong, call me and I'll solve it for you." fine. I don't want to think. I'll just call Sarah. She'll solve it. And it feels good because you put on your superwoman cape and you're like, do this. And I'm like, good job, Sarah. You're a genius. And that works great until you've got 10 of me and I'm calling you every day, all day. And then the superwoman cape gets a little worn out and gets a little like, I don't want just to stop it. So when you go, I don't know, you're the smart guy. What do you think you should do? And I go, I think I should go home and quit. Okay. Well, I've raised my hand if someone's not a good fit. When I go, I think I should, and I come up with a good solution. Good job. You're probably a right fit. But the last thing we want is don't call me, call this other person I'm going to pay and they'll do your thinking for you. We need to teach people I hired you to do this job. If I'm going to pay this chick to come around and fix your mess, why do I need you? Why don't I just pay her? You know what I'm saying? Why am I paying two of you? One to do a poor job and the other to fix it. I'll just pay the fixer. We can eliminate the poor person right in the middle. why am I doing this dance? All right. We're kind of running out of time. Give me any questions, comments, thoughts you have, and then we'll call it, sister.
No, it is really helpful because there are definitely some things that I've been trying to fit into a mold that it didn't fit into. And that definitely helped me think about it in a different way. So I really appreciate that because my team, they are doing a great job, but I do a lot of the thinking for them because I know all the answers already. And I've always told them that I want them to have enough freedom to be able to make these decisions themselves based off of what they know to be true, you know, and they don't. They still end up calling me. So that's 100% accurate and really helpful. And that's definitely something that I'm going to be able to take the reins on, you know, over the next week, honestly, to be able to make a difference.
The key thing that I heard you say, what I love, and I don't want anyone to miss it, so I'm going to repeat it. I was trying to make people fit into a mold they didn't fit into. That is frustrating, non-profitable, never ending work. So I'm glad that you got that. You're like, I don't need to do that anymore. I'm going to let them do their job and I'll do my job. Yeah. And if they can't do their job, absolutely, hire someone that can. No problem. Moving on. All right. Cleaning Nation. If you were like, holy heck, I need this. I want more of this. I'm going to go to mycleaningcompany.com. I don't think we have anything for sale. I just think we've got the masterclass is the best place to start. Hundreds of podcasts. There's a, I don't know, 15, 20,000 person Facebook group, YouTube channel, blah, 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 blah. Everything you need to know. Grow Your Cleaning Company. Check it out now. I'll see you there. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share with a friend. Share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.